Well, this evening we're going to continue in our series that we're doing in the epistle of 1 John. We're looking at the marks or birthmarks of the born again, as seen in 1 John. We're looking at the phrase born of him or born of God. And of course we looked first Sunday morning I was here, the mark of spiritual deportment, which is found in verse 29 of chapter 2. The mark of spiritual deportment. Then we looked last Tuesday, the mark of spiritual desire as seen in 1 John 3:9. The fact that we are born of God because of the indwelling or new nature. The new nature is that we do not practice sin. And if there is a sin, it's because we've yielded to the old nature. Now we're going to look in chapter 4 tonight. Chapter 4. And we'll read just a section of chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beginning at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son, or his well-beloved Son, into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Sure that the Lord will bless this portion of his word. We will be looking at other verses in the chapter, and the mark that we want to think about tonight is the mark of spiritual distinction. The mark of spiritual distinction. This is seen in verse 7. Beloved, he said, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Tremendous portion of God's word. The mark of spiritual distinction. It is said of the Christians in the early church that the comment was made repeatedly because of their attitude and because of their actions. The unsaved people, it is said of them, they said, look how they love one another. All that could be said of God's people today. All that people can sense, the unsaved and God's people can sense the love of the Lord for each other, that we can love one another. Now, I must admit, some of us are not easy to love. We have our little quills that stick out at people, but in spite of all of that, the exhortation is that we are to love one another. And in this section, we see, first of all, the origin of love. We see in verses 7 and 8 the source of love. John uses two phrases that tells us of the origin of love. He says in verse 7, he says, love is from God. And then he says in verse 8, God is love. In verse 7, love is from God. And then he says in verse 8, God is love. This does not mean that love defines God, but rather God defines love. There's a difference. God defines love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's interesting that the writings of John gives two other expressions. It's found in John's writings to help us to understand something of the nature of God. For instance, in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus said this to the Samaritan woman in verse 24. He says, God is spirit, not a spirit, but God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in 1 John 1:5, we see that God is holy. And this is, of course, as to his nature. God is light. Rather, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And so we see that God is love. We see that God is spirit. God is light. And in him is no darkness. And of course, it speaks of his holy nature. So the origin of love, says John, is God. God is the one who is love. But I'm so glad that we serve the true God, the God of love. You know, when you think of all of the situations that's happening, and particularly if you as you know, the Islamic religion that people are so fanatical about, but they do not know Allah as a God of love. He is a distant God. He is a God that is not, and they can't comprehend the fact that God could love the world. And I understand from those who work with the Islamic people, this is one of the things they have difficulty to understand, because in Islam, Allah is a distant God. But I'm glad that the God, the true God, is a God of love, and a God who loved us so much that he sent it the very best. Someone said that when Hallmark came out with that expression, did you care enough to send the very best? Well, they said that could be said of the Lord. God loved enough to send the very best. And so the God that we serve, the God of the universe, is a God who loves. Oh, as we think of this, and as our brethren were praying tonight, especially for the unsaved. You know, this is one thing that amazes me. The deceit, the love of God manifested so many times to them. And they just shrug it off. They just throw it off. Oh, if they could only realize that God loved them enough to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It was said of when David Wilkerson was trying to reach Nicky Cruz. And you may have read the book. You may have seen the movie made many years ago. But when he was trying to reach Nicky Cruz, and Nicky was very upset with him, and that gang leader at the time, he said, "You know, I'm going to take my knife and I'm going to cut you up piece by piece if you don't leave me alone." Wilkerson responded, he says, "And Nicky, every piece will say, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. God loves you." This was one of the things that brought that gang leader to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the source of love is God. We see the expression of God's love in this passage. Look at verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we should live by him," or through him. And so we have the expression of God's love. The phrase, you notice it says, God sent his Son. It was love that sent his Son into the world. It was love that caused him to come into the world. The word manifested, it means to come out into the open, to make public. Now in chapter 3, verse 5, you see that word, John uses that word again. He was manifested to take away our sin. In 1 John 3, 8, he was manifested to destroy or render inoperative the works of the devil. And so we have the expression of God's love. And where was it manifested? Praise God for Calvary. We were talking about that, speaking about that on Sunday night. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in no greater way could God express his love to fallen man than by the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, his well-beloved Son, going there to take your place in mine. All the expression of God's love. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then we have the reason or the purpose for God's love. Look at verse 10. "In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We see the reason or the purpose for God's love, that he would be the propitiation for our sins. It means the satisfying of God's holy law. The propitiation is something that God does to make it possible for men to be forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so, it's a wonderful thing as we study this passage. Notice also, please, the measure of God's love. Look at verse 14. The measure of God's love. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as to be the Savior of the world. Here's the measure of God's love, to be the Savior of the world. John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But then quickly, we think of the greatness of God's love as seen in 1 John. Go back to chapter 3, verse 16. This is another First John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And he says, we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here is the greatness of God's love, that he laid down his life for us. The Lord Jesus did. No greater way. That's what the Lord Jesus said. No greater love has no man than this. The man laid down his life for his friends, but the Lord Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. Because Romans tells us we were his enemies. We were his enemies. But then very quickly, this brings us down. You see, all of this, God loved us. Beloved, we need sometimes to just take time and to bask in the truth of God's love. And the origin of love and all that we see there. Now, this leads us, John says, in verse 7, he says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here is the outflow of love. Love flowing out. The evidence. He says, now, let us love one another. Let us love one another. You know, I believe, honestly, that when we run into problems with each other, I think sometimes it's good if we can just take time out and sit down and go back to the cross and think of what God did for us there. Think of the flowing out of God's love to us. And I believe there's no problem that's too great that cannot be solved if we look at it in the light of hell. You believe that? Go back to the cross. Oh, sometimes, you know, our eyes are not fixed upon him. Our eyes are not thinking about him. We're not focused upon him. So many times we focus on the difficulty between each other instead of looking at the cross and saying, Lord Jesus, you love me. You loved us so much. You took our place. Lord Jesus, help us to focus upon you and to get a fresh glimpse of him. I think if we get a fresh glimpse of him, then we will be able to get a problem rectified between each other. You see, the nature of God's love, because we have a new nature, the nature of God is love. We are dwelt with we've been blessed with a new nature, imparted with a new nature, and that nature should love. There should be love. That new nature within us, the nature of God is love, and so he says, all who are born of God will respond to God's nature and will practice love. Will practice, it's going to be practiced, it's going to be seen in what we do, in our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The evidence of this, going back to chapter 3, verse 14, he says the evidence of this is, we know that we have passed from death to life, unto life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abideth in death. Then he goes on, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I think this is one verse that people have misquoted more times or taken out of its context. I've heard Christians want to argue that a person who has committed murder, they accepted Christ in prison, maybe before they went to death. They said, no, it's impossible. The Bible says no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I said, you better read the first and last part of that verse. The Apostle John equates hatred to murder. He says, you hate your brother? You're a murderer. And no murderer has, you know, you see, that's the whole thing. I said, you know, if you take that in the context it's written, then I'm afraid there are a lot of people who would not have salvation. But praise God. The first part of that verse, verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't it wonderful to see how God, in his love, and his love is, it brings people together. You see people coming together. You know, it was my experience, and Brother Willie was there as well in 1983 to be at Amsterdam. The first several conferences for itinerant evangelists that were led by the Billy Graham Association. And it was wonderful to be there. There were delegates from 134 countries. And it was wonderful to see Jews and Arabs, both loving the Lord, meeting together, embracing, shaking hands. People from Pakistan and India. In the natural sense, I mean, opposed enemies. I witnessed something one day. There were two of these men, and I, you know, they looked alike to me. They were back onto each other, and they were talking to somebody else. They backed up, and they bumped into each other, and they each turned around and apologized. Oh, I'm sorry, my brother. And of course, you know, everybody had a name tag on where you were, what your name was, where you were from, and so on. And one says, oh, India. Others says, oh, Pakistan, my brother in Christ. And they hug each other. That's what the love of God should do. He brings enemies together. People who are enemies. He brings them together. And oh, you hear stories and have happened over the years in the mission field. We have sworn enemies, tribal enemies, brought together because of the love of God. This is the way it should be seen. No, beloved, God help us to hear the words again of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. John 13, 34, 35. He says, here's how we're to love. As I have loved you, how much did he love us? He died for us. Where Paul uses that exhortation in Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Sacrificial love. He says, as I have loved you, so love you one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one to another. And I say this, I believe that what we all need is a fresh dose of God's love flowing through us. Amen? Amen. And so it is. He says, and you know what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4? He uses a similar expression when he talks about those things that grieve the Holy Spirit in verse 30, 31. He says, you know, bitterness and envy and malice and evil speaking and these things, he says, now in verse 32, he says, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How am I to love? I'm to love as Christ loved me, with that sacrificial love, willing to lay down my life if need be, for my brother or sister in Christ. I am to forgive as God has for Christ's sake forgiven me. It's sad that sometimes when there is a problem, and we've all seen this, I'm sure, there are some folks who will try to say, but I don't believe he was sincere. The Bible says, I am to forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. It is my responsibility, if that person comes and says, I am sorry, will you forgive me? To forgive, unconditionally! Because that's what the Lord has done. So it is, we have to love one another We have to love one another. Oh, we see there the evidence of God's love. The evidence, see. I well remember some years ago, in one of the small meetings, I can't remember just where it was, we had this person come to the Lord, know the Lord Jesus Christ. Been a pretty rough character. One day, the person was talking, I think Brother Tom and I were having a meeting somewhere, I forget where it was. Anyway, came and said, you know something? I couldn't stand so-and-so. I couldn't stand this one. I didn't want to be around them. But since I gave my heart to Jesus, I don't mind being around them anymore. I said, praise God, that's an evidence that you're saved. That's what John, we love. He says, if we love, he says, we know that we have passed over 30 times in 1 John. He uses some part of the word, form of the word. No, we know we have passed death to life because love the brethren. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. The expression. Here's the expression in verse 11. Go back to chapter 4 again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. We have now the expression. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If there is not with a question, it can be translated since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, the deeper I go back again to the cross, the deeper we go into the meaning and the measure of the cross of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died for us, and we get a fresh glimpse of this. I believe the greater will be our love for one another. And so I say again, we need, you know, that's why it's so good. We do this when we come to remember the Lord. But it's not good just at that time. I think we need every once in a while, you know, maybe quite frequently, just to go back to the cross and to get a fresh glimpse of God's, the heart of God's love is expressed in His Son. This should enhance, this should have our love to increase toward one another. Increase toward one another. God so loved that He gave. Do we love so much that we give? Whatever. But then we have the expansion of God's love in verses 12 and 13. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him, and that He is in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Here is the expansion of God's love. That's interesting that John says here, no man has seen God at any time. Of course, we know when the Lord Jesus, at His incarnation, God was manifested in the flesh. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, when the Lord Jesus was upon earth, they could see God manifested in human form. But here is the thought, beloved. The Lord Jesus is no longer upon earth. So how do people see God's love? There's no other way that they can see God's love manifested than through you and I. Think about that. The Lord has gone to glory. Yes, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but the visible expression of God's love has to be seen in God's people. What a tremendous privilege, but what an awesome responsibility. Am I expressing His love day by day? Am I demonstrating His love? You see, it's only, and you'll notice, again, John is using that word abide, as we saw last time. He uses it again. He expresses that again. Abide. In verse 12. No one No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. We, as we abide in him, his love is perfected in us. As his love flows through us, his love is perfected in us, and it expands in us. And so the result is, God's love is going to be exceed. And you'll see the repetitions right through verse 16 of abiding, 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 abiding. And how do we do it? You'll notice in verse 13, John says very carefully, he says, and by this we know that we abide in him, and that he is in us, and because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. You know, when you come to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Literally, that means God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so we have the nature of God, and we have indwelling us the Spirit of God, whereby we can love one another, because he pours God's love into our hearts, enabling us to love one another, and it expands, it grows. But very quickly, I want to think with you of the observance of love. Now, this is where John gets down, as Dr. McGee used to say, and still saying by recording, this is down here where the rubber meets the road. This is the important, the last section of it. We're to demonstrate God's love in practical and tangible ways. Go back to, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verses, 16 to 18. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, his bowels, his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, it's going to be expressed in tangible, practical ways. And of course, the activity is seen, the supreme expression of love is self-sacrifice, or giving ourselves to somebody else. We ought to lay down our lives. Earlier on, verse 12, he talks about the wrong kind of love. He says, that's not the kind of love that Cain had for his brother. He killed his brother. He says, no, that's the wrong kind of love. He gives an example, but the example of true love is the Lord Jesus. He laid down his life for us. And so he says, the supreme act of love on the part of a believer would be to lay down his life for his brothers and sisters in Christ. We may never be called to do that. There are Christians in other countries who do give their lives for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, we see this here, the expression of God's love in a practical way, or in practical ways. He says there may be a brother in need, as a practical way of expressing God's love. The early church, of course, this was seen, that's why perhaps it was said, that they loved how they loved one another, because there were many needy folk in the early church, and they met the needs. This happens even now in many parts of the world. And there are practical ways, John says, of expressing this love. You know, in years gone by, I don't see it as much as it used to be, but in years gone by, when there was a drive on and there were funds were being collected or to meet a certain need, it might have been somebody's fire relief or whatever it was, the newspaper would publish a whole list of people who gave. And one day, they went to my dad, and they said, "We haven't seen you or any of your brethren churches in there." He says, "That's okay." He said, "That's all right. It doesn't mean that we haven't given. We have given. But we're not giving for the praise of men." That's what some people do. They don't do it anymore, and maybe it's a good thing. But some people only give or to meet a need because they want to see. Well, you see what I did? No. We don't have to publicize it, but beloved, we've seen, and I've seen how God's people have met the needs of others in many ways. Tangible ways. I think of the church in Antioch of Syria. When they received the news and when the prophets came led by Agabus and they heard of the terrible need in the Judean and Jerusalem church, they immediately jumped to that need. I think when Paul expressed the need for the Macedonians, he says this in Second Corinthians chapter 8. You know, he says, you know, they didn't give as we had expected. They gave of themselves first to the Lord and to us. And Paul says, they gave out of their poverty. They didn't have it to give, but they gave what they had, and they, because they wanted to express their love for each other. You see, it doesn't, not necessarily financial, it can be. And it does happen. Sometimes there are needs that we know about, and we help to meet those needs. But it can be other ways as well. It can be a struggling family. Maybe a new baby's coming. This is a practical way. And folks get together. And, you know, they have a struggle. Just simply getting together and maybe passing on some clothes that, you know, the baby can use or the mother can use and things like this. And maybe sometimes, and it does happen. In practical ways, there's a family and maybe the mother is sick. And, you know, there's some small children. Some get together and they cook a meal and others say, "All right, we're going to come in and we're going to clean the house." And, you know, these are practical ways. That's what John's talking about. Doing things, expressing our love, expressing the love in practical ways. Oh, I thank God for God's people. And in our own experience, we've seen this happen. So many times we've seen it happen. During the last few years in particular, God's people have been so good and so gracious in so many ways. And this is the way we love one another. Amen. It's where we show our love. It doesn't have to go in the newspapers. It doesn't have to be publicized. But folks get to know. And they say, you know, those people have something we don't have. Maybe we could never get up and they would never hear us. We witnessed to them before. But when they see this, they see how God's people are meeting needs. They say, you know, those folks have something that I'd like to have. They've got something different. They're different. Now, of course, there's one thing. We must be made aware of the need. Can't meet a need if we don't know about it, amen? Can't do it. And then, of course, we must have the necessary need. Whatever the need might be, we have to do it. And then it always should be done with a loving attitude. We're doing it because we love one another. You know, James says something. Let me just read that. James says in chapter 2, I think it is. He says in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. James chapter 2. He says in verse 14 for connection, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works, can faith save him?" He's, you know, James is talking about works, not for salvation. "If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" See, that's the thing.
I remember reading stories from years ago about a farmer who was rather, a Christian farmer, he was rather well off because God had blessed him. One night he was praying in the family devotions, and he was praying for some folks down in the city or in the town nearby, and he was saying, "Lord, you know there's some very poor people down there, and there's some people who have special needs, and I pray that you'll help them to see those needs met." When he got through, his little boy, you know, sometimes children can come up and things. He says, "Daddy," he says, "if I had some of the things you have, the grain and stuff and the food you have," he says, "I'll meet the need. I'll answer your prayer." What did he say sometimes? The Lord, a little child should lead them. The boy understood. You see, here's daddy praying. But he said, "Dad, you have to meet the needs. I'll meet them if you, I'll answer your prayer if you let me have them. If I had that, I'd..." And so the father was spoken to about. Oh, that we might express our love. We might express it in practical ways. He says, so we're not to love in just in word or tongue, but that it be the practical way. Practical ways. Then they have the assurance. What's going to happen? Look at verses 19 and 20. Well, let's read verse chapter 4 again. Let's read from verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." When we love one another and we're demonstrating this in practical ways, there's going to be confidence, boldness, confidence. Secondly, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. You see, there's going to be assurance. There's going to be assurance. We're going to have assurance in what we do in these things. And in back in chapter 3, in verse 19, he says, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts do not condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things." He's saying, when we love each other, we're going to have assurance. We're going to have confidence. We're not going to feel ashamed. We're going to be able to come to the Lord, and not with a bragging spirit, but be able to say, "Lord, I love you." Be able to tell him we love him because we're loving one another, and our relationship with other Christians will affect our relationship with the Lord. You know, if I'm not right with my brother, I'm not right with the Lord. Always that's so simple. If I'm not right with my brother, my sister, I'm not right with the Lord. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "If you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Well, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Look at verse 22 of chapter 3. Here's another result of this. He says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." We are going to have assurance and answered prayer in our lives because we are loving one another. Answered prayer. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to come and to know that our heart is right with God, and we're at peace with each other, and we're demonstrating this love, and be able to come and talk to the Lord, know that he has promised to answer our prayers. Answer prayer. You see, this produces a confidence in God, a confidence toward him, and a confidence and a boldness to ask. Oh, I don't mean what is being preached today, name it and claim it, you know. this stuff that's going on today? No. Because if you go to chapter 5, he says we have to ask everything according to his will. I know that, this is not a popular thing. Some, they say that you don't have to ask. It is God's will to give you. It is. Give anything you want. You know, claim it, name it, claim it, it's yours. Sad that this is being preached and perpetuated today. The mark of spiritual distinction will be seen that we're going to be loving one another. I'm not saying we're not, but all that our love can increase, our love can grow, our love can become stronger. I tell couples that in counsel for marriage, I said, you love one another? That's the question. They said, yeah. I said, let me tell you something. You haven't even scratched the surface. What do you mean? We're in love. I said, but you know, this love is supposed to get stronger and deeper as the years go by. I said, it's like a tree. The root gets deeper and deeper. And that's how your love is supposed to get. That's why I said, you haven't even scratched the surface. Someone looked at me and said, I said, I'm telling you. It is supposed to be. And that's the way Christian love is. Our love should get deeper. The more we settle on the work of Christ and the love of God as demonstrated at Calvary, the greater our love, the capacity for our love should be for each other. And that's why John says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God help us be able to demonstrate this love. Say, Lord, just help me to love my brothers and sisters a little bit more each day. Yes, Lord, even those that love me the wrong way. Even those that sometimes get on my nerves, use that expression. But you know, as we ask God, God works mighty things in our lives. God works in our lives. God help us to have this mark of spiritual distinction more and more. Realize some of the men are going out. Perhaps you're in situations where it's difficult, but you know, God help your brethren to love your fellow brethren, and yes, you show that love in such a way that those under that are your shipmates are not saved and come to know Christ. Those who you work with in Spanish Wells or in the community, that love will be demonstrated in our lives in these practical ways. People are going to start to take notes. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if people start talking about you and I and saying, well, they really love one another. That'd be nice. May the Lord bless you. Bless his word to our hearts. Father, we just thank you tonight for your precious word. Oh God, there's only, as we thought of a few moments ago, in this passage, Lord, we've only scratched the surface. There's so much here for us. Thank our Father for the origin of love. Thank our Father for the fact that God loved the world. That he gave. Oh God, tonight we thank you for the cross of Calvary. We bless you for the Lord Jesus. We can say with the Apostle Paul who wrote, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Father, help us in the days ahead to have this mark of the spiritual distinction manifested in our lives in a fresh way as we look cross, and we look at each other in the eyes of love, the love that is of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Lord, we just pray tonight that there are those perhaps, maybe not in this congregation, but Christians who are at odds with one another, and we pray tonight, Father, that your love will break it all down. In the light of the cross, there'll be reconciliation. Bless your word. Again, remember the men who are preparing to leave, God, again, we pray for your protection. We pray for wisdom. direction upon them. Pray again, Father, that every man in every boat who names the name of Christ will be good, will be a bright light shining out the wonderful message of salvation. The Lord will be good salt, producing cleansing, Lord, creating a cleansing effect. Lord, creating thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. May all of us be good, be bright lights and good salt. Lord, remember the families who will be left behind, and those that go, they take the day, Lord, and we just pray for your protection upon them and upon all of us. Again, we thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Oh, we bless you tonight and praise you for this. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things. In Jesus, precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing 344. Beautiful old song to ask a question. 344, I think it is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? 344, yes. Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service? Let's sing the chorus as a prayer. We're going to ask you to stand. You've been sitting down a long time. Let's sing it out, then the service will be over. Let's make the chorus a prayer. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. 344, the meeting will be over.